Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 29 July, 2014. It is Tuesday. You're in the right place. So are we. We are so glad to be back and with you. Had a wonderful four-day mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we are so glad to be to be back. And thank you very much for your patience with the replay. And we had the incredible Dr. Dan Junker on Friday. So I thank you for bearing with us so we could just take a little bit of time away. And it was wonderful. Went on a mission with J.D., Josh, and his wife, and we just had an amazing time, absolutely amazing time. Mm-hmm. It's funny how the world becomes a little bit different when you're totally distracted and you're not looking at all these headlines all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back and it hits you in your face and you realize, wow, the world is a real changing place, that's for sure.
Violent juxtaposition, for sure.
Oh, it is. It is. Absolutely, it is. Well, we are going to have at 8 o'clock today, Matthias Chang. He is an attorney from the country of Malaysia. He was involved with the prior administration there, prime minister, and he's going to give us, hopefully, his feedback on what happened with not only MH370, MH17, and any ideas he has on what's going on in the unrest in the world, because I'm sure he sees that it all is being brought together as we are, and it is just chaos everywhere. And of course, the question to ask about plane crashes, given the fact that there were these three in the last several months, what about the one over Mali?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
No mention.
Mm-mm.
No mention. It's like, oh, well, that one's okay because, well, there were a bunch of people in Mali and they were Muslims and the plane's gone and they died.
Well, and I have a theory that, I mean, this is just my theory, but it's not agendizable. Is that a word? We're making up a word. Mm-hmm. Not agendizable. You can't take it and, you know, use it to their advantage, so they're just not going to talk about it.
It's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It has no impact for them to use, but yet they can keep the other story going with MH17 all the time.
Might even be the opposite of that, because they wouldn't want us having any kind of soft-hearted feelings towards Muslims right now, because that would be counterproductive. So I think it's even maybe not agendizable, but counterproductive.
That's excellent. Excellent. And I think what everyone is seeing now, I don't care if you're the most pro-Israeli person, is you are seeing the difference in reporting coming from the Israeli side and coming from the Palestinian side. Mm-hmm. I did have the pleasure of watching a couple of journalists who were from Palestine, married to Jewish people, who did excellent job of calling the shots like they were.
Right.
And it's not, you're not being told the truth. You're not being told why they are in Gaza. It's all about annihilation. I am sorry to have to say that to those of you, because if your ideology is set, if your ideology is Israel good, Palestine bad, then there's nothing that anyone is going to say that is going to convince you of any other facts.
Exactly.
So it depends on where your ideology is. If you're willing to look at the facts and see that you don't bomb UN schools, you don't bomb children's hospitals, you don't bomb those things during a war. I don't care who you are.
Mm-mm.
And the United States did it in Iraq, and they were wrong. It was war crimes.
Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of things, and I haven't read anything that really puts a capstone on that ideology that says this is the right thing to do to be bombing children.
Yes.
That haven't gotten an opportunity to grow up and make a decision for themselves yet on how they want to live their lives. You know, you're just snuffing out life. That's all we're doing.
That's
and there's
right.
No justification written down in a book anywhere. I'm sorry.
Just, and when yes, and yeah. If you are justifying the killing of children, then you need to reconsider where your direction is, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nobody that can justify the things that are going on right now except for Netanyahu and his group.
No, you need a moral compass recalibration.
Absolutely.
At that point. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've got some very interesting information regarding veggies that you never knew that you could pickle.
What?
I love pickled stuff.
Oh, me too.
And I got 6 veggies you can pickle that you would not have even guessed. When we come back from this break, we got lots for you today in the news. This is Joyce.
And JD.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. 3-minute break. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. Those of you that continued on doing the next right and honorable thing by educating people. You know, I had an email from John who said to me that, you're laughing at what the powers that be are doing is kind of like getting people comfortable with sitting back and just laughing at them and not doing something about it. I don't know if that's true or not. It may have that impact on some people. But I think that we're laughing at the fact that they expect us to believe the absurdities that they're providing for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are looking seriously at what they are saying and how they're saying it. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly not laughing at the fact that they're just going to do it and, oh, well, we have no choice. We have no chance to remedy it. But the more I listen to what's happening, the more I see agenda and the more I see this huge flood of activity that's being designed to come our way.
Right.
And how do we stop it? That's the question. How do we stop it? Mm-hmm. And it's only going to be by people rising up. And, you know, one of the things that I want to mention that I think is so important is the very fact that we're spending all this money on these children coming in from, you know, whatever South Central American countries, that we are talking about buying them teddy bears. We're talking about getting them this, talking about how much money we're going to spend. Are we going to keep them here? Are we going to send them home? And in reality, look what happened to those hundreds of thousands of military people that were violated in such extreme ways, mm-hmm. that were killed, that were neglected, that was medical malpractice.
It still is going on.
Yes, that is still going on. Mm-hmm. And now they come up with a new Senate bill, a new combination bill that they say they're going to throw more money at it and create more VAs, which is the exact thing they wanted.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree
no
with
answer.
That.
Mm-hmm. No answer to this.
No.
Nobody's going to be sent to jail for what they've done. Nobody is going to be censured. They are going to just throrw more money at it. I think it's $17 billion they're going to throw at it. What? Are they going to do more yoga classes? I don't know what they're going to do. But there is, if you have a broken system, throwing more money at the broken system and creating and duplicating more facilities is not the answer.
I agree.
They need to get rid of the VA system. And as I've said before so many times, this is the way they keep the information secret. Mm-hmm. This is the way they classify information. So you've got VAs, and now more of them, duplicating more problems that they're not taking care of, and yet we're concerned about these children. So it is time, and my reasoning, for the military to stand up and say, we are starting to get it. Mm-hmm. Military, I don't care if you're over in Afghanistan or Ukraine or wherever you're stationed now. Do you realize how you are being used and abused? And then when you come back here, the same thing's going to happen to you that's happening to your brothers. And you ought to be standing up for your brothers now who've lost two arms and a leg and can't do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And yet they are abusing them in the VA facilities. But nobody wants to believe that because we've got to have this thing about, well, you know, they really do care about us.
I get this impression, paying attention to Mr. Obama recently, that all bets are off in this administration. He honestly doesn't care what happens to him. He's got, you know, banners in his pocket. There's not going to be any kind of injunction against his actions. We know the Department of Justice is as completely corrupt as any mafia that you could mention. So mm-hmm. he basically has free reign to do whatever he wants. And I wanted to just kind of dovetail on what we were talking about, the, you know, the laughter versus depression. The news is going to be the same. You can listen to people talk about the agenda, the things that are going on, the decisions that are being made without our consent and that are just kind of being rammed down your throat. And you can be depressed about it. We can do a sullen show and just say, this is what's happening and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a little bit more, I can't do that. If I'm going to ingest all this and take it in, and I have to laugh at them. I have to say, well, this is just blatantly ridiculous.
Yes.
Because it's blatantly ridiculous either way. And if you can't get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, then I don't know what, you know, then you're just doomed. And we're at this position where, honestly, if the military doesn't step up and do something, all bets are off. Because I'm not thankful that the spotlight is on the VA right now because the situation is so bad, but I'm thankful that the spotlight's on the VA right now because the vets and the people that have the experience and the ability to do what needs to be done in this country are those people. And they're going to look at that and say, okay, it's go time. We actually have to do something now because no one else is going to do it. And the American people have been so just compartmentalized and you know, dumbed down,
distracted
that they don't know what to do even if they had to. And then plus you've got the Cloward Piven's thing, where you're just getting onslaughted by so much information and so much of this chaos. It's you're overwhelmed. People are overwhelmed. And unless somebody in a position of authority, quote unquote, like the military, steps up and does something, I don't know what else is going to happen.
And as long as television is allowed, and they are allowed because they own it, to cable television, to be able to focus on the treatment of dead bodies 24/7 on CNN,
mm-hmm.
and not even mention the treatment of the dead bodies of the veterans mm-hmm. or living bodies of veterans that are wanting help and can't get help. I mean, the distraction is so obvious. Let's everybody look at Gaza. Let's everybody look at Israel. And that's by design, too, to create that little firestorm over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's everybody look at wherever. But you notice there is a lack of information, lack of knowledge, lack of material coming from someplace like Mali. Mm-hmm. 110 people died. What happened to those bodies?
Or even something closer to home with Karen. You know, we had Kel Wetmore on last week, and she was talking about the bodies that were leaving the Virginia State Hospital throughout the 70s. You know, we're talking about more than 150 bodies from the CIA. They were just, you know, nobody wants to talk about these things that hit that close to home.
Right.
You know, so.
And you've got still a military Marine in a prison in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be so easy for them to say, open the door, let the guy out, and we're getting him a flight home. But no, because they pick and choose. Obama is not in charge. Obama does not make any decisions other than maybe what if he's going to have coffee or tea.
Where he's going to vacation.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe where he's going to vacation. That's about it. Because there is the Brotherhood of Darkness that makes all those decisions. And if you ever, ever doubted that, you see that now. Mm-hmm. He's gone all the time. And it is in your face. And it is by design. So as we come back and look at what is happening surrounding us, and people are obsessed with Israel versus Gaza, which they should be. Any human rights that are violated, we should be involved with. Any human rights. I don't care where it is. But you have an intensity that is going on in a war now. Look at how the camel got his nose under the tent. All right. You have this little tiny country called Gaza. You've got this great big country called Israel. And they want it all. They want it all. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. They want everything. They control the airspace over Gaza. They control the naval port around Gaza. They control everything. They control the food going into Gaza.
Absolutely.
They control
medical
everything.
Supplies, water, electricity, all of
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. They control everything. Of a sovereign country or a country who's supposed to be their own country. And then they say, well, we've got to take out the tunnels. Well, the tunnels, a lot of the reason they had the tunnel was to sneak food into Gaza also.
Mm-hmm. And to have a place to hide from rockets that are coming in, too.
Yes.
And basically makeshift bomb shelters.
Yes.
You know?
It wasn't just to go and kidnap children, which they keep saying, which has never happened, as I understand. But that is their excuse. They could go in there and kidnap children. So they say, well, we've got to take the tunnels out. And then we need to take the tunnels out and destroy their military hardware. No. How do you have the right to destroy the military hardware? And don't tell me the old, well, they shoot us first and
yeah.
Israel only responds to self-defense. Come on.
Mm-mm.
And then you have, well, we need to take out their military hardware and Hamas. And then we need to, now yesterday they were dropping F-16 bombs. F-16 bombs. Hamas does not have an air force.
And they certainly don't have an iron dome to protect themselves.
They don't have an iron dome, and they are obliterating everything in Hamas.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody can justify that, please tell me how. They are human beings. And I get emails from people saying they are nothing but dogs. All they want to do is kill Israelis. Well, probably at this point, they might be creating that scenario.
I'll tell you what, if some family from Canada moves into my front yard and starts taking my water and my electricity and putting up a home and then bulldozing my house, I'm going to get pretty offended by
yes.
that. And I'm probably going to do something about it, regardless of what name I'm doing it in or what God under, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me. If you come to my home and start hurting my family, we're going to have a problem. And that's what's happening there. You have to remember, 20% of those people are Christians. Okay? This isn't a country full of, you know, radical Islam. This is just not how it is. That's not reality.
And many of those people are Christian that have been killed. Mm-hmm. Well, why aren't we coming to the aid of the Christians, the Palestinian Christians? They don't count because they're Palestinians. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wonder how Hani Hanna is able to maintain himself and contain himself and be... I don't know.
I can barely contain myself. I mean, I get really, really frustrated about this to the point of where I get tingly and I'm just...
But what's funny is I was never on the side of the Palestinians ever Mm-mm. before Mm-mm. until I saw the scenario that they live under every day. Mm-hmm. And until I was able to see the evidence. And if your ideology is still Israel good, you know, Palestinians bad... You're never going to change. I can't do anything about that. And you're entitled to believe that way if you choose to. But I just want to add, the five people that I sent the video to that promised that after they looked at it, they would tell me why it was wrong, have not responded. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to point out also that there's a difference between being ignorant of some facts, which everybody has had. We've all gone through that. You know, we've all had to learn things. But being ignorant is something to be, you know, celebrated when you learn something. But willful application of ignorance, when somebody says, here's some information that you should have because it will help you make better decisions, and you say, I'm not interested in that, that is stupidity. There's a difference. That's where you draw the line and you willfully apply ignorance. Mm-hmm. And now you are somebody that I am not going to talk to anymore. So.
Absolutely. Do you know that that one comment that John Kerry made about pinpoint, you know, doing a pinpoint action
operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me tell you, that has weakened the U.S. position so much around the world. Mm-hmm. And it has exacerbated the pro-Gaza situation. We'll be back after this four-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. The death toll now stands at 1137, somewhere around that. 1137 for the people of Palestine. For the citizens, it is about 80 to 90% of those are citizens, according to what is being reported. In Israel, 56 have been killed. 53 of those are military. So you've got a military invading another country, and they're complaining about their soldiers getting killed. Mm-hmm. You've got 1,137 being killed in Gaza, mostly civilians. I mean, high percentage of civilians, children and women. This is turning in, and I'm sorry to say this, to be a Holocaust. And it's not me saying that. Who is saying that? It's the Jerusalem Post. The situation facing European Jewry is simply intolerable, unacceptable, and inexcusable. And calling the rise in anti-Semitic incidents accompanying Israel's invasion of Gaza an SOS situation. Never before, since the Holocaust, have we seen such a situation today. It is now going back and boomeranging on the Israeli people. The world sentiment now is against Israel for what they're doing. And when is this going to stop? How long are they going to continue under the guise of we've got to get the tunnels? How long is it going to take before they stop? And that's the question. And now they're saying that John Kerry has made a huge mistake. He's not able to do anything over there. Well, he mitigated his own position is what happened. And never before since the Holocaust have we seen such a situation as today. And Vladimir Slautzer, Jewish Congress president, said, and now the events will only grow in scale across Europe. Addressing legislators and representatives from a number of European governments, including Denmark, Holland, France, the oligarch and former head of the Russian Jewish Congress, called for Jewish communities across the continent to unite and consolidate. But the world is against what they're doing in Gaza. They can see. They just bombed their only power plant. Their only power plant. They took out the power the minute they went into their country, mm-hmm. when they invaded the country. And you've got a country that is weakened beyond, I don't know how they could ever go back and be a sovereign country again.
Well, they won't. That's the whole plan here. The whole plan here is going to be to eliminate the idea of the West Bank and Gaza from the minds of people forever. It's just going to be one of those things that's going to happen, and we'll never think about it again.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll think about it, but they're
yes.
It's genocide. They want that land, and this is I believe this is the final push.
Look where the territory started out. Mm-hmm. Look at how it started out in 1948, and then you tell me that's right and that's fair. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they use the excuse, well, they bombed us first, so we just kept taking away their territory. No, that's wrong. 8 children were killed as missiles hit a Gaza playground.
A lot of Hamas hotspots are playgrounds, apparently.
Yeah, evidently. They aim at the Hamas. No, they're not. They're aiming at anybody and everybody.
Yes.
And it is genocide. It is absolutely genocide. So I don't want to cover that anymore, except to say that I cannot find a justification for what they are doing. I cannot find a justification. And I do not believe Netanyahu wants a two-state solution.
No.
He wants a one-state solution.
Correct. And I think people in the world are starting to really open up. I mean, people out there in the rest of the world that aren't under the guise of six media conglomerates, which is, you know, 90% of the media we see in our country is owned by six companies. Other people out there, they don't have that problem, so they actually get to see a little bit of what's going on, which is why you have thousands of people in London that are anti what's going on in Israel right now. I mean, so anyway, getting on.
It is beyond what we can imagine. I feel for those people so much.
Yes.
And for those of you who email me and say they're just dogs anyway, how dare you?
You know,
how
but I feel for
you?
Those people too.
I feel
for you too.
Yeah.
Because you are either being chemically or mentally adjusted by the state, and it may not be your fault, but you at this point take it from us that you have some learning to do, and take that as a challenge that you have some personal growth to do, and then let us know how that works out for you. And we're here to support you in that. So
everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I certainly changed in mine an awful lot. All right, let's move on to MH17, because this seems to be the critical point between what's happening between the Russia and the United States. It looks like financially, Russia's doing better than ever. Thank you for the sanctions against us. They are doing much, much better. Last Monday morning, it was not pleasant for the U.S. State Department. Russian officials surprised Washington and its NATO partners when it released all available satellite imagery and air traffic control data, which was recorded in and around the final minutes of MH17 and presented it to the world and to the media on live television. The data painted a very different picture. We'll talk about that after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce.
And JD.
Oh. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. Please support the Power Mall. That's what it's all about, staying on the air so we can tell you what we think is happening. And yeah, if you have, we are always open to hearing what you think is happening also.
Mm-hmm. We're just as ready and willing to learn as anyone else.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I want to recommend Southern Exposure. If you want to know what really goes on at the border, Southern Exposure, a documentary that really tells the good, bad, and the real ugly of what's happening at the border is available at the Power Mall, and it is excellent. We also have Disaster for Dummies, Disaster Preparedness for Dummies. It's available at the Power Mall. All of this is really, really at a good price for you today. Rosie has put it on sale, along with Living Clay, and a book called The Art of Fermentation. Art of Fermentation. This is the Bible, listeners. Sandra Katz did this book about everything that you can ferment. And I mean, it's huge. We're going to talk a little bit about making pickles out of some vegetables. But this book, just to tell you, is 500 pages.
That's like a tome.
It is. It is. The Art of Fermentation, an in-depth exploration of essential concepts and processes from around the world, because other people don't have refrigerators. Shock, shock.
Right.
And, I mean, I know it's hard to believe they don't have ice makers either, mm-hmm. but they don't. And so, how to ferment, are you ready for this? Oatmeal.
What?
How to ferment oatmeal, yes. How to ferment grits. All you people in Louisiana ought to like that.
Hmm.
I mean, everything can be fermented, but you got to know how to do it right. And, of course, it gives all the sauerkraut recipes and the kimchi recipes and all that kind of stuff. But it tells you how to take anything, pretty much, and ferment it. So, Please get this book. This is one. And also to make your kombucha, if you want to make your kombucha tea. Yeah. Yeah, that is so good.
That's a really nice hardcover book, too. I mean, that's a beautiful book. That'd be something you'd have forever and ever.
Yes, you know? And it would be great in your library. You may not be wanting to ferment today, tomorrow, but you will someday if you want to eat. And this book is available at the Power Mall. It's on special. The normal price is $39. It's $40. And Rosie has it for $31. So please take advantage of getting that. The book on earthing. You've been hearing about earthing. It's by Clinton Ober and Dr. Steven Sinatra. It's about how to get yourself balanced by walking on the earth and why you would want to do that. That book is on special for $15. Now, the Disaster Preparedness for Dummies is $10. It's a video you can watch with your children and educate your children. We still got lithium orotate. The Matthew Stein books, Living Clay is on special. Get it while it's on special. The Vegan Burgers, $8.99. And the Miracle Dew special, still available at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. And let me remind you, get the Miracle 2 in the 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 concentration. It will save you so much because when it's 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 concentration, you just add your own water. And that way you don't have to pay for shipping of water. And it makes a huge savings, not only in the way they price it, but also in the shipping items. So give us a call, 877-817-9829, or go to thepowermall.com. As we told you today, we're going to be talking to Matthias Chang in the second hour, attorney for the former he is a prominent Malaysian lawyer. He will be talking on the program today about MS-17, 370, and also anything else that he wants to talk with us about. But then the third hour will be anti-immigration activist William Gein. He will join us to talk about the problems with and the understanding of the border problem, if we needed any more help on that one. All right, moving on. Back to MH17. I tell you what, I think I'm just going to leave that to Matthias because that's, you know, that's his, definitely his bailiwick. And let's hope that he tells us something pointed in the direction of what we need to know, because Malaysia has been so quiet on both of these flights and the issues surrounding it. I really do want to know what he has to say. All right. Some antibiotics with your cheeseburger. Guess what? Russian regulator probes McDonald's. This is an RT story. Natamycin, one of the substances in question, is a polyene macrolide antibiotic that keeps packaged products from growing mold and yeast. Did you ever wonder why a McDonald's hamburger never changes
ever
after 17 years?
Right. That's why.
That's why.
Blah.
It's got antibiotics in it, and you know those have to be good for you. Mm. So, you know, people still say, oh, my children just love McDonald's. Well, do you know what you are feeding them?
Because there's a billion-dollar industry that comes up with flavoring, you know, materials, the powderized flavor stuff that they put on your fries to make them taste like real potatoes. Billion-dollar industry that all trade secrets just to make you think, oh, it's addicting. That's why it's addicting, because they make it addictive.
They make it addictive. Yeah. It is addictive. Mm-hmm. You eat two or three meals of that stuff, and you are craving
it. You will crave it, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is following also on, would we have the thing of the article last week about China essentially selling us rotten meat mixed in with good meat, and that went right to McDonald's. It seems like every week, as if you need another reason not to eat fast food, there's another reason every week, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, this past 4 days when we were out, even when we were really, really hungry, we didn't go to fast food.
Mm-mm.
And it's important that people prepare in advance when they're traveling. I want to talk about North Korea. Minor story here, according to Kurt Nemo. North Korea vows to nuke the White House. A top military official for the North Korean government has vowed to nuke the White House and the Pentagon for increasing tensions on the Korean Peninsula. I have a feeling that we are doing that. I have a feeling the U.S. is doing that. And then also when they did that movie saying they wanted to kill Kim Jong-un, that was not smart in my estimation.
Probably
not. I mean,
not.
What if they did a movie about killing our president?
I like to go out in the woods and find a big hornet's nest and just beat it with a stick and just see what happens, you know. It seems like a good, it's like good principle, policy action.
And that seems like exactly what they did.
This story about, you know, blowing up the White House and the Pentagon, I'm having a lot of trouble deciding which side of the fence I fall on that one. I'm not going to lie. I kind of had to stop and think for a second. I think it'd be bad, but I don't know, really. I'm on the fence. I'm just going to stay on the fence with that one for a little while.
Okay, I'm going to play like you didn't say that.
Okay.
Delivered by airplane, Ebola now threatens 21 million people in major metro area. Now a physician and an assistant to him have now come down with Ebola. This is Doctors Without Borders. What are they thinking? You know, the people in the communities are saying, this is just all experimental stuff. We didn't have Ebola before they came there.
Right.
Now we've got full-blown Ebola. Somebody is creating this.
Well, and this is starting to get a little scary because now we're talking about Nigeria. You know, this is a country of, what would we say, like 2 million people or so, right at the airport. It's starting to get a little close to home for me. I'm starting to, my ears are getting a little perked up about
this. It's one airplane ride away. Mm-hmm. From the U.S.
Exactly.
And they know that, too. So why did you send Dr. Sanjay Gupta in there?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, why are you doing all the things to create the problem and make it worse? We didn't need to see the inside of that facility and everybody wearing spacesuits. We know what they look like.
Yep.
We didn't need that. Mm-hmm. But that is only a threat to passing this disease on. River in China mysteriously turns blood red overnight. The entire river turned crimson. I don't have an answer, but there was a strange smell in the air.
Yikes.
And now 40% of all weapons sent to Afghanistan. 40%, by the way, 40,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, especially when you consider the totality of the weapons that we sent to Afghanistan.
Yes.
It's a whole lot.
Yes, yes. It's a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
40% of the weapons sent to Afghanistan are now unaccounted for.
It's like Fast and Furious on steroids.
Yes.
Is what my opinion of this whole agenda over there was, you know.
We cannot give the weapons to them fast enough to arm other people.
Exactly.
A government oversight agency says the Pentagon has lost track of more than 40% of the firearms it provided to Afghanistan's security forces, prompting officials to contemplate a carrot-and-stick approach to arming the fledgling military. Now, what the heck does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Well, you know, doing a war the conventional way didn't work, so I guess we'll use a carrot and a stick.
That doesn't make any sense.
But I'll tell you what. Are you getting it now that everything we're hearing is a set-up situation to do evil to us, we the people, and to benefit others and to benefit the chaos? Everything that we're seeing. Everything we're seeing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the border situation. And by border situation, I don't mean the southern border right now. Now, again, we're going to be speaking with William Gein later about the illegal onslaught of immigration coming from the south. But there's been some interesting developments on the northern borders in the last few weeks. Now, we had a story last week about a Boy Scout troop that got basically assaulted and had a gun pointed to their head because they took a picture of a Border Patrol agent, which apparently on the northern border is just something you just do not do. But Michael Phelan has got a fantastic article today about a journalist who was returning from Canada and was assaulted by Border Patrol up there. The journalist is Roger Bakel, who writes for Reason.com. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to assault anybody, you don't want to pick somebody from Reason.com to do it because they will write a story about which is what has happened.
Yes.
Essentially, this gentleman was coming back from Maine. They went up to Quebec for the day, and it's him and his two daughters. He is divorced, but he was coming back with his daughters, and the Border Patrol asked him if he had permission, written permission, to be traveling with his daughters. And he said, am I supposed to have written permission to travel with my daughters? It seems kind of like an unusual question. And because he asked that question, they decided, well, we're going to inspect your vehicle. So they, you know, do what they do. They pull you to the side. And he, being a smart journalist, said, I'm going to get my phone out and I'm going to start recording this. You know, gets out of the car with his phone, says, letting you know, Officer Border Patrol, sir, I'm recording this for my safety. And as soon as he said that, he was assaulted. His phone was taken from him. His arms put behind his back. And essentially what the Border Patrol said is that if he had been allowed to film, then that would allow the public to understand what the questions that Border Patrol was going to ask, which, of course, is legal. And he made the point that, you know, I'm a journalist, right? And I can kind of write all this stuff down, which is essentially what he went and did. So regardless of whether I record the conversation or just record it with my mind, I'm going to do it either way. So whatever you ask, I mean, it's just absolute ridiculous stuff that they're trying to do. And they essentially strong-armed him, and they wouldn't let him leave without deleting his information off his phone. Then they didn't even search his vehicle. So it was just a ruffian, you know, here's what we're going to do. And again, you know, last week, poor kids coming in from Alaska having a gun pointed at them for taking a picture. I can only recommend, if you're, you know, you want to be strong and tough about it, but record these incidents. Get these people out of positions of authority. They don't. I don't understand who these people are that think
and
they
have. And we want to bring freedom to other countries.
Exactly.
We have none here.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You know, I was thinking about that today, too, is like, I wonder what the difference is between the media that's going on in South America and Central America. And because if you live here and you understand what's going on in our country, the last thing you would want to do is travel from someplace else and move here right now because things are just so bad. But they must be telling them something that's getting them on a plane or a train or whatever to come here. You know,
Free phones.
Free phones, free medical and stuff. But they're all lies. It's not true. They're going to get here and then they're going to be manipulated just like everybody else is. Mm-hmm. It's just so discouraging.
But on the border issue also, southern border, now photos show border militias moving across Texas. These people look like scary Al Qaeda guys.
They really do. And you kind of wonder if that's part of the whole point of that article is to just kind of, you know, start broaching the subject of scary militia guys, because you really said it yesterday. You're like, well, they look like, you know, white Al-Qaeda, which is unfortunate, but that's, you know, that's how these guys are dressing, and that's certainly the image that the media would like to portray.
Oh, they're probably going to have a scary flag, too.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
It'll probably be red, white, and blue. It'll have all these scary stars on it and these stripes. It's going to be...
I don't know what it's going to be, but I'll tell you it's going to be something, because they've got to malign the militia. Yeah. They've got to continue doing that. That is like a major occupation.
I'll tell you what's going to happen is one of these militia guys, whether or not he's a militia guy or a CIA guy, he's going to shoot a kid, and that's going to be on the news, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck. We got to get rid of the militia. We got to grant amnesty now because we know our border's too out of control. It's just, you can just see where this is going. The train is going down the tracks, and I don't know how you could nudge it off of there if you had to.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's stories, Paul Joseph Watson, L.A. is planning to forcibly house homeless citizens camps.
This is huge. And this, of course, you have to take this with a grain of salt because it's a whistleblower who is talking on the condition of anonymity. But he is essentially saying that they're going to forcibly round up homeless people. They're going to give them medical care, a.k.a. an RFID chip. They were instructed not to use the word FEMA camps in their as these kind of programs were being laid out to the whistleblower here. And this is from the L.A. Department of Human and Health Services. But essentially, they are going to take these people and put them into a FEMA camp. And they're not going to be allowed to leave. They're going to have they're promising it's going to be humane. But man, I'll tell you, when you start reading about the rounding up of people forcibly and then potential 72-hour psych evaluations if these people decide that they don't want to go to a FEMA camp, this is just scary stuff. You see words in quotes like humane in an article as if that's, you know, you got to understand everything that these people are putting in quotes, humane treatment, you know, approach them on the street and ask them if they are usually getting food. They're trying to pretend to be nice, but anything I see in quotes, I know the opposite is probably going to be true. And I don't know, just rounding people up and putting them in FEMA camps at the same time that we're bringing all these illegals in and just letting them go wherever they want. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely, it doesn't. And it's by design. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. We don't know why. The House has now voted to block the president from sending U.S. troops to fight in Iraq. Think what's going to happen here. We're going to now be able to say, well, the House didn't vote for them to go. Since when do we need Congress to decide that we're going to go to war somewhere?
Right.
The president is the only one that needs to do that. But now they're using the excuse, well, the House voted us, and now we can't go back to Iraq. So it's going to go crazy.
Hmm.
It's just going to grow and grow and grow, and ISIS is going to take over. The Guardian reports the U.S. House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly on Friday for a resolution that would bar Obama from sending U.S. troops to any sustained combat role in Iraq, not any other country.
Except for the CIA advisors and all the other people that we have there right now. Okay, just make sure.
All the other paid people can go. Paid people that are paid big bucks can go.
Right.
The guys paid little bucks cannot go.
Hmm.
But they're saying now without any congressional authorization. So now we're holding the line on congressional authorization. ISIS is going to get out of control by design.
Mm-hmm.
Senate Bill 2277 isn't just about Russian aggression. It's about oil, gas, and propaganda to prevent further Russian aggression toward Ukraine and other sovereign states in Europe and Eurasia and for other purposes. It starts out claiming that the Defense Department is creating a strategic framework for U.S. security assistance and cooperation in Europe and Eurasia.
I'm sure that Matthias will have some discussion about this when it comes up, but it is safe to say that Biden's son is getting prepared with the company that he works for now over in eastern Ukraine to start drilling in the eastern Ukraine. So you can see where the agenda was driven. You can see, you know, when Hillary came out last week and said we immediately need to find a replacement for Gazprom, what, 6 minutes after the plane went down? You know,
yes.
I mean, this is
yes.
These are agendized things that are going on, and it's just playing out according to script.
It is. And like you said, Biden's son is a director in a shale gas firm now set to drill in East Ukraine. Mm-hmm. How convenient.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fearing Obama unilateral amnesty threats, Tea Party jams Congress's phone lines, makes no difference whatsoever.
Exactly.
You can spend your time signing, you know, petitions, and they get these people signing, you know, 30,000, 60,000, you know, all that does is keep you busy on the little hamster trail.
You could
I'm
send
sorry.
300 million letters. Everyone in America could write a letter to Obama, and it wouldn't make any difference. These people
right.
have a plan, and they're going to go through with it.
When we come back from this break, the Gulf needs to be evacuated. We'll tell you why. And was there a second Oklahoma City bomber? Stay tuned. We'll be back after this 3 minute break with the Power Hour. This is Joyce.
And JD.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. And the Gulf needs to be evacuated. Frightening, isn't it? And that's what Dave says at the Common Sense Show. It's scary. The conditions in the Gulf Coast are so bad that some are actually talking about a mass evacuation of the coastal regions in Louisiana. Others think the potential devastation is so dangerous that the entire Gulf Coast region should be evacuated.
Now, is this carryover from the BP spill, or are we talking Bayou corn here?
It's actually both.
Oh, my gosh.
And now they've shown that BP never cleaned up the Gulf. There are so many dead zones there.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. They lied to us.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway, he says that he's been investigating the events surrounding the Gulf Coast oil explosion for over 4 years, and he says he sits there mulling over the evidence, which is derived from the full spectrum of research protocols, ranging from anecdotal evidence to scientific evidence. And he says, I do not pretend that I have all the answers. However, he said, it is catastrophic. It is catastrophic. And biocorn is getting worse by the day. And if you don't know what biocorn is, that's an area in which gas that was pumped in underground is now seeping out, coming up through the water, and is destroying the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just causing the trees to fall, causing the land to be sucked down.
Well, essentially what is going on also is that there's a huge salt dome under the area where they were drilling, and that salt now has been ingressed with water, so the salt is dissolving as it does in water, and now the land is sinking in, and all of this water has just got to have some place to go, and as it takes up that cavity underneath, it is taking trees. I mean, it is some of the most frightening. You want to have an idea in your mind about how powerful Mother Nature is, go on YouTube and look at some of the Bayou corn stuff.
Yes.
Because it is, I mean, it is as catastrophic as it could possibly be. It's very,
it
very
definitely
crazy.
Is. Definitely is. On the Oklahoma City bombing front, I want to thank our listener who sent this to me. A Salt Lake City attorney is arguing in a lawsuit that the FBI has video of the Oklahoma City bombing that shows the second person was involved. The case is at heart of Jenny, you all remember Jesse Trenadu, his quest to explain his brother's mysterious jail cell death 19 years ago, which has rekindled long dormant questions about whether others were involved in the deadly 1995 blast. And I am so glad that Jesse Trenadu's mission is not accomplished. I mean, he has not stopped. He is an attorney, like we said, for Salt Lake City, and he shows a file photo film of Kenneth Trenadu, his brother, in a poster that was hanging in the office of Oklahoma City lawyer Scott Adams. The picture is horrible. It is a picture of this young man that died. Trenadu's family and Adams claim that the bruises covering his body are inconsistent with that type of death. The bottom line is they're saying that probably Jesse Trenadu was mistaken for somebody else involved in the Oklahoma City bombing, because mm-hmm. there were others involved. The FBI, will have to persuade a judge that they've really done everything possible to find videotapes of Timothy McVeigh's minutes before he parked the truck outside Oklahoma City Federal Building. And, of course, we've had a number of people on this program say that they have those tapes and that they need to produce them. But I can't imagine they haven't destroyed them by now.
Well, that's exactly where my mentality is with that, too.
Yeah, they're long gone.
Long gone.
But anyway, while some consider a far-flung conspiracy theory at the forefront of the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, it's going to go to trial this coming Monday. Trinity says the agency will not release security video photos that show a second person with Timothy McVeigh when he parked the truck outside the Oklahoma City Federal Building and detonated that bomb, which killed 168 people.
And there's some great information on the Trinity situation in A Noble Lie, which we have at the Power Hour.
Yes.
So if you want to know what happened at Oklahoma City from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that's a fantastic place to look. And there's a lot of great background information on this other facet of the story that most people have never even heard of.
Yes, A Noble Lie, a documentary that it's kind of like the be-all, end-all documentary on the Oklahoma City bombing. When we come back, health news after this 1 minute, 10 second break. Stay tuned.